There you go.
Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. And we've got good things going on. Amen.
Amen.
And did I tell you this morning, last week we were in a tent meeting over in Ohio. And God just blessed in a mighty way. We were the Holy Spirit moved in, and we saw some good things happen, and a lot of people come to the altar. And I preached there 2 years prior to that, or two times prior to that, and we never had the tent full. But this year we had a lot of people. It was almost full. Whoa. Hello. All right, let's do this. Let's get into the Word of God. Psalm 31. Psalm 31.
Just back a little bit.
All right. All right, we're good now. What's that?
Get the dust off the rack.
That's right. Amen. Psalm 31. Now, What's the evangelist here for? To make you uncomfortable. All right, so let's all stand. Once you get to Psalm 31, Grandma, you're excused, okay? I'll make you uncomfortable another way. Amen. Psalm 31. We're going to read the first three verses. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we do love You. We thank You for this time that we can gather in Your house on this Sunday evening. I ask, dear God, that You'll do a work in our midst. You know exactly what we need, and I pray, dear God, that the needs will be met. I pray that You'd use this old preacher one more time, and that when we leave here, we'll say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I want to remind you of a scripture in John chapter 5 and verse 39. It says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." Jesus was talking about the Old Testament scriptures, and He said, "When you go into the Old Testament and you study that, you see me." And folks, that's what we see here in Psalm 31. We see Jesus. Now, I love this. If you look in verse 1, it says, "O Lord." If you look at this, this is a prayer, okay? And then, "O Lord." Then look down in verse 3. It says, "For Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Make that a prayer. "O Lord. For Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." I believe with all my heart that's the second greatest prayer in the Bible. I know somebody say, "Well, what's the first greatest prayer?" I'm glad you asked that. Look, if you will, in Psalm 119. I'll hold your finger there in Psalm 31. We might go back there. Psalm 119, verse 94. This is the greatest prayer you can pray. Verse 94. "I am Thine, save me." I hope and pray every person here has prayed that prayer. "I am Thine, save me." There has to be a time in your life. So I remember I was talking to a Calvinist, and of course, the problem with Calvinists is they believe you're saved whether you are or not.
Right.
And they have this idea that you're saved from birth, or conception for that matter. And that you come into the world and ultimately God's going to smile on you and take you to heaven. I was talking to him and he says, oh, you know, you're not saved by a prayer. Well, why does God say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? You see, now I didn't pray this exact prayer, I am thine, save me. But I did ask God to save me. And I remember a time when I got down on my knees and verbally asked the Lord to come into my heart and save me. I am thine, save me. Before, if you get nothing else out of this message tonight, I pray you get this one thing. We need to come to the Lord humbly and bow before Him as the God of gods, the Creator of the world, the salvation, the Savior of the world, the one that has salvation. I am thine. And by the way, whether you're lost or saved tonight, you are His. You are His. I am thine. Save me. I do not want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven to be with my Jesus. I am thine, Savior. Well, the second greatest prayer, back here in Psalm 31. O Lord, for thy name's sake, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me. Lead me. We need leadership. That's what's wrong with America? Somebody say, well, I can tell you about 20 things wrong with America. Now let me start by saying this. I love America. I love the United States of America. We're still the freest nation on earth. We still have the freedom. They haven't taken this away from us yet. We still have the freedom to stand and preach the Word of God. We still have the freedom to go out and hand out a gospel tract. They may take that away from us very soon. But we still have that freedom. We still have the freedom to speak up for Christ, and that may end fairly soon too, but we don't know. We need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to tell people about Jesus. But we have the free. We have more freedom than the other folks in the world, and we should praise the Lord for that. I remember the second time I came back from Africa, and I had been sick the whole time I was in Africa. I came back and I don't know if I actually did it, but I wanted to. I wanted to get down on my knees and kiss the earth when I got off that airplane. I was so glad to be back in the United States of America. And my wife can tell you that I loved Africa. I loved every minute I was there. But I want to tell you something. I love America. And I'm glad that we have what we have. The problem is too many people take for granted what we have. But we should desire that our nation have some good leadership. Now, I'm going to clarify that. I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about pastors, evangelists, fathers, mothers, teachers. I'm talking about godly people standing up and taking leadership positions in our country. And showing forth that they are the ones that matter. And you can talk about all the different things that are going on in this world. What we need most is godly people in leadership positions. Now, I want you to think about this. We need His leadership. And I want to show you some things real quick. And if you'll follow along, we'll just have a good time in the Word of God. Get your fingers ready. All right, got your fingers ready? We're going to go through the Word of God. Look back at Psalm 5. We need His leadership. Psalm 5, notice what it says down here in verse 8. It says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Lead me in thy righteousness. Now remember I said in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. Jesus Christ said that. Lead me in thy righteousness. Lead me in the righteous Son of God, Jesus Christ. Everything's about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Lifting up His name. He's the righteous Son of God, the holy and divine Son of God, who came to this earth for a purpose. He came to this earth to die on a cross for you and for me. Lead me in thy righteousness. Those are the righteous steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 5. Says, lead me in thy truth. Lead me in thy truth. Boy, I'll tell you what, this is getting excitinger. Think about this. That thy word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the truth. What we need today is to be led in the truth. Somebody needs to open up the truth. You know, many times we hear of our politicians talking about, well, you can believe this and you can believe that, and you can't believe a word they say. And you can't trust anything that they say. I remember the last election, we were voting on senators and congressmen, and they were telling us that when they go to Washington, things will change. And I want to tell you something, they went to Washington and things didn't change. Things got worse, if anything. You can't trust them. They're not telling you the truth, and they'll never tell you the truth. All they want is power and position. Folks, that's what politicians do. They lie to you to get power and position, and they'll say anything that they think that you want to be said. But here's the truth. And by the way, the truth will always tell you the truth. This is the truth. The Word of God is called a mirror. You know what a mirror? A mirror tells you the truth about yourself. Whether you like it or not. We were in a motel over in Indiana, and they had this big old mirror. And I'm standing there. I'm looking in this mirror. I said, man, alive. This must be one of... They got this mirror from the carnival. Look how fat I am. My wife just shook her head. She didn't say anything. I said, they need to get this thing so I'm thinned out a little bit. It's telling me I'm too fat. And she just kind of turned her head and looked away. She didn't say anything. But the problem is with mirrors, they tell you the truth about yourself. You look in the mirror, it tells you all the problems you got in your face. You look at the mirror, it tells you every hair that's out of place. You look at the mirror, you see that little thing dangling out of your nose. You look at the mirror, it shows you those things. Look at the mirror, you see the salad that you had hanging on your teeth. The mirror is honest. And by the way, this book is honest. Thy word is truth. And it'll always tell you the truth. And that's why people don't like the Word of God, because it tells them what they are.
Yeah.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lead me in thy truth. I want somebody to tell me the truth. Amen. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Lead me in a plain path. This is the way. Walk ye in. This is the path. I like that word path. It doesn't say the broad way. Well, the broad way is not the way to go. That's where way everybody's going. It's the path. The one that very few are walking down. It's that path that's got some weeds grown over. And you might have to use your machete to cut the weeds down to get through. But I want to tell you something. This is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the path that the Lord has prepared for us. And this is the way we should go. I remember an old preacher when I was a kid. The man of God that led me to Jesus. I remember him preaching the Word of God. A dignified man of God, and he had his coat always buttoned a certain way, the whitest shirts you ever saw in your life, tied, perfectly tied, and he never moved out from behind the pulpit. But boy, when he spoke, you could feel God. And he'd say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Well, I sat there as a little boy, and I looked at him. I said, wow, I'm going to live the way he tells me to live. We need some men of God that would do that again. Look, if you will, in Psalm 61. Psalm 61. You're tired, your fingers aren't getting tired yet, are they? Okay, glad. Look at verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock. I'm not talking about rock and roll. I'm talking about, matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we find out who this rock is. It's Christ Jesus. That's who the rock is. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. This is the rock that is higher than me. This is the rock. He reached down, by the way, he reached down the mire and the clay. He reached down in there. I was in the scum of this earth. I was sinking down in sin, and he reached down and took me out of that and placed me on the rock, Christ Jesus. Lead me to the rock. Listen, there's no better place to be led to than the rock, Christ Jesus. There's no better preaching in all this world than the rock, Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about rock and roll. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I remember some years ago, we were at a camp meeting down south, and one of the preachers got up and said, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All you guys do is talk about Jesus." Well, I got to thinking, well, who else is there to talk about? That's the one we need to talk about. I can't believe he's saying such a thing. Folks, this is what it's all about, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't too long ago I said, preaching, you know what? If anything, we need to do something different than we've done in the past. And they kind of look at me a little bit weird. And I said, we need to make much of Jesus. Lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Listen, there is no name like the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. By the way, do you realize that it won't be the sight of Jesus that causes everybody to fall on their face before Him? It'll be His name. And it'll be this great angel in glory that'll call out the name of Jesus, and we'll all fall to our knees at that point. Can you imagine such a thing? What a glorious thing is the multitudes of people that are gathered there in the throne room of God, as we all fall on our face before the name of Jesus. Now the name of Jesus is run through the muck and the mire. Now the name of Jesus is used as a cuss word. But then it'll be lifted up to be the name above every name. And it'll be at that name that we'll fall on our face. Look, if you will, in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Your fingers still going? You need to practice that calisthenics with your fingers. Amen. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lead me in the way everlasting. Well, I like this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. And then Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Look down here in verse 10. "Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Preacher, what's that talking about? That's talking about heaven.
Amen.
The land of uprightness. Yeah, you know something? You place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go to the land of uprightness. You're going to go to the land of we call it glory. Just over in the glory land. You know, we've called it heaven. We call it the New Jerusalem. We call it a lot of different things, but I want to tell you something. It'll be the time that we're with Jesus. My Bible says, when I see Him, I'll be like Him. I'm looking forward to the time that when I see Him. You see, we believe in Him, and we've never seen Him. I'm not like Oral Roberts. I haven't seen a 900-foot Jesus. Amen. I don't think He's that tall anyway, but I tell you what, one of these days, I'm going to see Him. When He's going to call out and says, "Come up hither," and I'm going to go up to meet Him in the air. And with all the multitudes of people that are going to go up to meet Him in the air, somehow, some way, my eyes and His eyes will connect. When I see Him, I'll be like Him. Somebody say, "Well, what are we going to be like in glory?" We're going to be like Jesus in glory. And by the way, we're not going to have angel wings and all of those things. We're going to be like Jesus. You know what? I believe that we're not going to be God. He's God. And there will be a difference in our bodies and His body. We're going to be like Jesus, but we won't have the scars. Scars that He bore for us. And you know what? As we look to Him, I believe that even at that point, there will be a tear in our eyes of thanksgiving for what He did for us. When we stand there at the judgment seat of Christ, and He examines us before He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to tell you something. I believe there will be tears in our eyes because there's not a person here who will say, "I've done too much for Him." We'll all say, "Boy, I wish I'd done more. Lord, lead me. I want Him to lead me." I want to show you something real quick, and I'm going to preach my second message now. All right? L-E-A-D, lead. The L, let God lead. Let God lead. You know what the problem is with us as human beings? We're rebellious by nature. And what we want to do is we want to take control of our life. We don't want God to take control of our life. So we want to lead. And this is the way I want to go, Lord. In high school, they have guidance counselors. They still have guidance counselors? They have guidance counselors. I remember guidance counselors when I was a kid. I imagine they were a little bit different in 68 than they are now. But back in the 60s, I remember sitting in the guidance counselor's office. The first time I went to see the guidance counselor, he said, "I'm not lying. This is the honest truth. And my wife is here to testify to this." He said, "Have you ever considered quitting school?" I said, "Well, my mom would shoot me if I quit school. That's the only reason I'm here, is because my mom would shoot me. And she had a gun, and she would have." But you know what? He wasn't of much help in my life, the guidance counselor. But I know a lot of people put their trust in guidance counselors. I remember when I got drafted in the Army. You know what we did in the Army? We had to take a test. And whatever you did on that test determined what you were going to be. I was drafted into the Army. So they didn't say, "What do you want to do?" They didn't say that to me. They made me take this test. Well, after I took the test, they said, "You know what? You'd be suited as a mechanic." And so they put me in a motor pool, and I was supposed to have on-the-job training and be a mechanic. After about 6 months of that, they determined this guy is not going to be a very good mechanic. He has destroyed more than anything. We've got to do something about this. So they made me a motor pool clerk. And so I was the one that was put in charge of the books that, you know, the log books for all the vehicles. But anyhow, these are determined by test and by people. They're telling us what we need to do. No, I want to tell you something. Forget all the guidance counselors. Forget all those people patting you on the back saying, "You know what you need to do?" Forget all those people that are saying, "You'd make a good dot, dot, dot." No. What does God say? What is it God says? God wants us in His service. Now maybe he wants us to work at a factory. Maybe He wants us to work at JCPenney. Maybe He wants us to be a Walmart manager. Whatever it may be. But I know one thing. Even if he wants us to be a Walmart manager, he still wants us to be his, serving him. My Bible says, and by the way, my Bible says it, and I'm sure yours does too. Matter of fact, if you got a good old KJV Bible, I know it says this. Romans 6:13, yield yourself to God. Yield yourself to God. You know what it takes to yield yourself to God? Humility. It says this in 1 Peter, in my Bible, and I'm sure it says this in yours, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What? You see, that's something that's totally out of character for you and for me. But we like to do things our way. But Lord, don't you understand? This is what I want to do. I don't want to do it your way. Matter of fact, have you ever argued with God and said, God, are you sure about this direction you're taking me? I don't like this direction. It's a scary direction. Listen, the uncertainty of it. I don't like this at all. I remember one time a lady talked to me after church. Not here. A lady talked to me after church and she said, you know, if I live by faith like you trying to preach, that's like jumping into the dark, taking a huge step into the dark. I said, that's not it at all. Because if you're taking a step of faith in Jesus, it's a step into the light.
Amen.
You see, if you follow the ways of the world and the shifting sand of this world, that's a leap into the dark.
Amen.
Jesus is the light of the world. We sang about it tonight. And if we follow Him and we allow Him to be the leader, I guarantee you, you'll never be in darkness.
Amen.
Now, you might scratch your head about what God is doing. I have no doubt about that. I've done that many times. Matter of fact, I can tell you story after story after story of times I've doubted God and then had Him prove Himself over and over again. One time we were driving along. When we first started out in evangelism, I used to drive around in a little bitty Hyundai car. And we had that thing packed full. And Andy would sit in the back and he had to hold his suitcase on his lap because we didn't have any more room in the car. Here we were going down the road and we'd had meeting after meeting and nothing seemed to be happening. I said to my wife, I'm just going to quit. And she, you know, with all of her support and love, she said, did you get into this to quit? I said, I thought you were on my side. And I said, no, I guess I didn't. And she said, well, hold your head up and get going. We've got business to attend to. And I said, all right, we're going down the road. We're going to go to this next church. And I said, you pray that that somebody gets saved. And I'll pray the same thing. She said, okay. So we prayed about it. Prayed that somebody gets saved. Well, I've got to tell you something. This is how far I trusted the Lord. We were going to the next church. Was in Marshalltown, Iowa. We were going to go to a Wednesday evening service at this church. The pastor was at camp, and he wanted me to fill in while he was gone. Okay, now wait a minute. You think about this. The pastor's at camp. All the teenagers are at camp. Who's there? There's nobody else going to be there. We got there, and we got the shock of our life. There were about 300 people there. And they introduced me. I walked up there. And I started preaching. I preached until I was blue in the face. I mean, I preached and preached and preached. And I gave them everything I had with both barrels. And then we had the invitation, just as I am. Three verses of just as I am, nobody came. And I'm about ready to start crying. We started singing that fourth verse. And a lady came down, tears coming down her cheeks. I went down and said, what do you need? She said, I need to get saved. I about shouted. I tell you what, I was dancing. People didn't know it, but I was dancing on the inside. And that young lady got saved that night. She was in her 20s or 30s, I don't know. But she got saved that night, and her mother came up to me, and she says, you know how long we've been praying for her? She told me how many years they'd been praying for her that she'd get saved. We got in that little Hyundai car, and it seemed like a Cadillac that night. I said, let's get down the road. We've got another meeting to go to. Amen. lead me. It takes some humility. And then we need to just reach up to take his hand. Psalm 139 talks about how he leads us by his hand, with his hand. And just reach up and take his hand. I remember when our kids were little and we'd reach out our hand and they'd just automatically reach up and take our hand. That was so sweet. They trusted us. They thought, you know, I can't go wrong as long as I'm holding Daddy's hand. I can't go wrong as long as I'm holding the Lord's hand. Just taking by the hand. And then, it's a heart trust. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. So let God lead. Yield yourself to God. Take Him by the hand and let Him lead you. Stop being the one that's in control and let God be in control. E, keep your eyes on the leader. Keep your eyes on the leader. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. You know what the problem is with us? Here's what happens. Now I'm guilty of this. Matter of fact, I got to tell you something. Whenever I preach a message, I guarantee you I've been through most of the things I'm talking about. I pray, Lord, help me to understand what I'm preaching. And many times I've gone through things just to prove that God really is God. But we have a tendency to get our eyes off the leader. And what we do is we look at all the circumstances around us. We look at all the things that are going on. We look at how bad things are. And we let it bring us down. After all, we get to looking at everything that's going on in Washington and how bad that is. We look at the laws that are being passed and how bad that is. We look at the situation in the Middle East and how bad that is. And all the problems. And we think about, listen, ISIS could come over here and a dirty bomb of some kind could go off and New York City would be wiped off the map. And by the way, that could happen. But not just New York City. It could be St. Louis. It could be Kansas City. It could be Chicago. It could be Buffalo. Whatever. And we get our eyes off. But wait a minute. If we've got our eyes on Jesus, those circumstances don't mean anything to us. Folks, I want you to understand something. Those are there to get our eyes off of the leader. We keep our eyes on Jesus, and we can get through any trial, any problem, any disease, whatever it may be, we can get through it because Jesus has already been there. He's our forerunner, and He will get us through those problems. Just keep your eyes on Him. Just keep following the Lord Jesus Christ. Just keep on going with Him. Reach up, take His hand, and let Him go with you. Don't worry about all those circumstances. The A in lead. Be attentive to His voice. John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me by name. You know, I've read this, but I haven't seen it in person, but I've read about it. But the shepherds, remember the shepherds that were there when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? The shepherds came down. You know, there were a lot of different shepherds there, and there's a lot of sheep out there. And the different flocks were mingled together. But you know, these flocks, when the shepherd stood up and said something, the flock that belonged to that shepherd was attentive to that voice. And if it was time to go to the fold, that flock followed that shepherd to the fold. And that's when he'd use his rod and count those that came in. He'd tap them on the head as they came into the fold. And if there was one missing, of course, he went out and found it. But I want you to think about this. We need to be attentive to the Word of God. We need to be attentive to our Lord. How do we do that? Well, my Bible says, and I'm sure yours says the same thing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. faith cometh by hearing. I want you to go hold your finger here. We'll come back to this. I don't know. Where are we anyhow? Let's go over here to John. And notice what it says here in John chapter 15. Oh, I love these verses over here. In John chapter 15, notice what it says down here in verses 7 and 8 of John chapter 15. It says, herein is my 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Wow! What a promise from the Word of God. But yet we think we know better than God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. How much more encouragement do you need tonight to get into the Word of God? Somebody say, well, I've already read my 2 chapters for the day. Two chapters? Well, you only have to read 3 chapters a day, and I'll get that read before I go to bed. You know what? How much time did you spend watching TV? How much time did you spend reading the newspaper? How much time did you spend reading another book that amounts to nothing? You know, we're going to stand before a just and holy God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Boy, that comes back to that memorization. Remember, I spent some time talking to you about that last year. Putting it on a card. Memorizing the Word of God. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Alright, we're getting down to the last part of this, the D. And I want you to notice the D. Look, if you will, back in the book of Psalms and go to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. The D is death is no obstacle. If we're going to follow the Lord, you know what? In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7 it says, and they loved not their life unto the death. And the death. So death didn't mean anything to these folks. Those that had given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ were willing to follow Him no matter what, even if it led to death. That shouldn't bother us. Matter of fact, I can't remember what the preacher's name was, but I can remember a preacher saying that somebody came in and pointed a gun at him and said they were going to shoot him. And he says, you can't intimidate me. I mean, what are you going to do? Threaten me with heaven? You kill me, I'm going to heaven. So there's no problem. Death is not a problem for us Christians. Because I'm going to tell you something, no matter how bad it is on here, if somebody takes us out of here, it's glory for us. Folks, you can't threaten me with heaven. It's going to be better than here. I might have it great here. And, you know, I might have everything I want. But it's going to be better on the other side. So don't threaten me with that. To serve the Lord doesn't mean that we're all going to die. But I tell you what, it may mean that. It may be that one day. They may come in and they may have the soldiers come in and break down the door. And they might take us away at gunpoint. And somebody walk to the side, they just shoot us and get us out of the way. You don't think that can happen in America just because we have a constitution? Listen, the constitution means nothing to people nowadays. Our leaders don't care what the constitution says. And they'll do whatever they want to with the power that they have. And you listen, people believe this, that we Christians are the problem. Oh, it's not Islam, it's not ISIS that's shooting people, it's the Christians. What? I haven't heard of too many Christians going around shooting people. I haven't heard of too many Christians flying airplanes into the side of buildings. I haven't heard of too many Christians getting their kids to strap on bombs and going blowing themselves up. I haven't heard of Christians doing that. I haven't heard of Christians having camps where they teach people to do that. I haven't heard of Christians that talk about hate and destroying the Jews and the great Satan. I haven't heard that. Listen, you know what I've heard? I've heard the love of God. And how much God loves this world. and the money that's spent by Christians to send missionaries around the world to share the love of God with a lost and dying world. I've heard of Christians that have sacrificed themselves to go to Muslim countries and start clinics and churches at the threat of dying. Death doesn't mean anything to a Christian. You kill me, I'm just going to glory. Notice what it says here in Psalm 48 and verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. We could stop there and just shout for a while. But look at this. He will be our guide even unto death. Just take him by the hand. Just take him by the hand. Let him guide you and direct you. Oh Lord, lead me. Two great prayers. I am thine. Save me. Oh Lord, lead me. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. No one looking around. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for the blessings of the day. Lord, we thank you for the truth from the Word of God. And certainly we're so thankful that we have the truth. Dear God, I pray you'll work in every heart right now. I pray decisions will be made for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, I pray for the lost to be saved. I pray for the saved to get right. I pray that we'll all leave here saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Please, Holy Spirit of God, take control and work a mighty work right now. God, please, work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher. Page 308 in our songbook, All to Jesus I Surrender. 308 in our songbook. You heard the message. We need to surrender. If you're here and you're unsaved, I plead with you again with the preacher that you not leave this place without making that thing sure and right. But let's have surrender here as well.